11 seconds to go. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now in the arena. Morrow's got the puck. He passes up to Silk. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. So was my terrible impersonation of Al Michaels' call at the end of the 1980 Olympic hockey match between the USA and Russia, where U.S. shocked Russia on their way to, of course, the gold medal in the Lake Placid Olympics. The miracle on ice. Miracles. Miracles. It's a funny word, isn't it? Miracle. What conjures up in your mind when you hear the word miracle? Maybe you instantly go to more of a Jeffersonian take on miracles, and you want to pull the scissors out and sort of cut them out because you just don't want to get near miracles. But it's a word that also describes very poignantly the unexpected, right? The unexpected, like the US of A beating the multiple time gold medal winning Russians in hockey, the college players beating the professional players. Or maybe you think about the miracle on the Hudson. We remember all too well the image and the stories of hearing about a plane that lost all of its thrust, all of its engines at 3,000 feet after takeoff in LaGuardia, and yet glided very smoothly on to the Hudson that morning, where all the souls survived. Other times it's more comical, isn't it, when we think about miracles. Maybe it's when I show up 5 minutes early for the glebe service or for the 8 o'clockers. I'm always usually on time at 10:30, but most of the time. But at the 8 o'clock, it's like it's when I'm here at 8:01. They think that's a miracle. We've reset the standards, I guess. But, you know, but they're surprises, right? They're things that surprise us. Because we have sort of a familiar pattern in life. We all too often, without even knowing it, sort of just have a cruise control on in our cars, in our brains, in our hearts. And we're sort of just puttering along. And then when something knocks us off of that, something inbreaks into our lives, it changes things. It changes the familiar. It opens up new ways to see even. Because these miracles also happen not just in a Hollywood fashion, like the miracles on ice or the miracles on the Hudson. They happen in our individual lives all the time. All the time. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who had a heart attack, and he had what's called the Widowmaker. I'd never heard of this, but essentially it's the worst kind of heart attack. I see heads nodding. Y'all are tracking with me. It's the worst kind of heart attack you can possibly have. And so before the heart attack, he wasn't feeling well. I hadn't been feeling well for a few days. I'm feeling really poorly. And that morning in particular, he woke up. And his house is over in Glenver. And so he's a long way. He's 20 minutes, for those who don't know, 20 minutes to Lewis Gale from where he lives out in Roanoke County. And he just didn't feel well. And he was like, maybe I'll just take a nap. Or no, I'm going to get out of the house. I think fresh air will do me some good. Right? We've all thought that. Let me just change my scenery. And maybe that'll help me snap out of what's going on. So he went to his office, which happens to be 4 minutes away from Lewis Gale Hospital. Where he was at his office, sitting in his cubicle, he then felt his heart attack happen. And he reached over to his office mate and said, call an ambulance. Of course, because he was only 4 minutes away from Lewis Gale, he's alive to tell me this story. He goes, it was a miracle that I decided to go to my office that day. Had he not gone to his office, he would have most certainly died en route to the hospital. But these type of things happen all the time in both those sort of large life or death moments, but also in little moments in our lives where the sort of unexpected breaks in and offers us grace or an unexpected sense of joy. Because no matter how small or large, the one constant about miracles, whether it's on TV or in our lives, whether it's a story we heard about or whether it's one from our neighbors, that these moments invite us up on this balcony of life, right? They invite us to take a look at our lives. They give us a pause. Now, not as they're happening, right? Like, that doesn't, you know, my friend didn't in the ambulance say, "This is a miracle that I went to work." I mean, he's just probably not even conscious at that point. But when we have some separation, some moments to reflect backwards over what happened, over that chance encounter that altered some future thing in our life in a very good way, then we begin to say, wow, that was a miracle I met that person at that point in my life. Sometimes this happens 20, 30, 40, 50 years after the moment. Other times it might happen an hour. You'd be like, that was a miracle. That I feel it. That might actually change my life. But no matter what, it puts us up on this balcony, gives us a chance, invites us to have a chance to look at the greater story being written all around us and where we fit in to that story. Frederick Buechner wrote something called The Alphabet of Grace, and it was the thrust of his book is to provide a true grammar, alphabet, words that sort of describe grace. Because those moments of being on the balcony, of getting to reflect back on the way that joyous moments have inbroken into your life is what grace is all about. And so he describes it like this. A miracle is when the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. A miracle is when 1 + 1 = 1,000. Meaning the little pieces don't add up. And that's what we begin to see in this balcony or from this view. Think back to the famous miracle on the Hudson. Right. If you looked at the individual parts, losing both engines at 3,000 feet, a water landing, you would say there's no way that anyone's going to survive, not to mention everybody. Right. But the whole, when we see the whole, we see the plane gliding in on the river and we see all the souls getting off safely. We see the miracle. We see the thousand. Even though we know that the 1 + 1 can't add up. But it does. And the visitation between Elizabeth and Mary is such a miracle. These two pregnant women coming together and experiencing the unexpected joy. Anyone that's been pregnant, had a spouse that's pregnant, watched a mother be pregnant, basically been around a pregnant lady, especially when they're in, well, at least for Ashley, it was call it like month 4 to about month 7 was sort of the sweet spot, right? Where she felt great and she was sort of just brimming with miracle, right? Because if we really boil it down and y'all know George all too well, he is already asking questions about how this stuff happens. But when you really boil it down, when you really boil it down, it's a miracle, isn't it? It's a true miracle that from our bodies, we create these new creatures amongst us. With Mary's body, she births our Savior. Yet miracles are still very difficult to talk about. We all sort of have a Thomas Jefferson side to us, where Jefferson cut out every miracle. His Bible, the Jefferson's Bible, does not have any miracles in it. Because they're hard. Because we want to, on one level, treat them very rationally, meaning scientifically. Well, how can we prove? Well, we can prove that the Hudson River had the right type of molecules to land a plane, and Captain Sullenberger had the exact amount of gliding experience, and the wind was at the exact degree. I mean, we want to over-explain it to do away with the fact that sometimes things far greater than us just happen. But we want to sort of explain it away. Or Or we conflate miracles with petitions. You know, we say, I want this to happen, and that might be a miracle that we want to have happen. But then that's something that we're generating. Whereas I think when we experience miracles, the one characteristic of a miracle is that it's completely unexpected. It's something, in other words, we couldn't have imagined. Or as our prayer book says, even pray or desire it. We don't know. But what we do see is that there's this greater story that's grafting us in and breaking into our lives with love and with grace. Because it's natural. And that's the last piece. We can't rationalize away miracles because they're part and parcel to God's existence in this world. And God is of this world because He's the Creator. C.S. Lewis has a brilliant little book called On Miracles. And what is the thrust of his book is miracles do not, in fact, break the laws of nature. What he's saying is that miracles are part and parcel to our lives because God is part and parcel to our lives. And this is precisely the miracle of Christmas, is that the miracle of Jesus Christ's birth, the virgin birth, was for all of us, that God revealed himself as a baby so that we might know that we're loved and accepted by him forever. In this sense, then, and in closing, we are all George Bailey. We are all George Bailey. Now, if you don't know who George Bailey is, it's A Wonderful Life. And if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, I'm getting ready to ruin the ending. But I'm sorry. I just hope you've seen it. And so George Bailey was visited by his angel, by his guardian angel. He's visited by a mediator. He's visited by the Spirit. However you want to frame it, but he's visited by God, okay? And he's at this point in his life where he is sad and full of despair and unsure of his next steps. And he's even contemplating ending his life. Okay, somewhere along the line, that touches all of us, right? Like, we've all been in that place where, you know what, we're like, I just can't do it anymore. I just don't have it in me anymore. This just isn't worth it. Why am I doing this? The sort of existential questions come compiling in on him. And so here he is when he's intercepted by Clarence, the Holy Spirit proxy. And Clarence gives him a miracle of a new life. To see the world as if he never existed. And what he notices is that our lives are far more intertwined with each other than we could ever imagine. That those little things of kindness and those little hands of joy that we extend to one another have rippled effects everywhere. And in that relationship, okay, we see as clear as a bell, the relationship between God and us. Because at the end of the movie, and George Bailey returns home, changed but not completely changed, he looks around and his wife says, look at all the money we have, look at everything we have that the town has poured out for him. Including even the bank examiner. Because remember, George Bailey at that point, what pushed him over the edge was that he was going to lose the business because of some malfeasance, according to that mean old potter. And so in comes the bank examiner, and the sheriff rips up the warrant, and the bank examiner deposits money into the collection. So what is that miracle? That miracle is the same miracle that we all get on Christmas. It's that God treats each one of us like George Bailey, giving us everything in His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might know that we're loved and valued and accepted without condition and without reservation. Amen.
Amen.